shall we pray. Heavenly Father, we appreciate the fact of your presence, especially knowing that the first chapter of Genesis opens up with the fact that the world was in a chaotic condition when your Spirit hovered and brooded over it. According to your word, it brought forth beauty out of chaos, and it brought forth, Lord, a proper form of government, of cohesiveness within the universe and yourself, Lord, and you're able to bring something to a peak whereby you said you were satisfied with the work that you had done, and now it was on, at least for that time, an even keel where mankind was supposed to and did for a while do those things in the land which were in true harmony. And we realize tonight, Lord, in this hour of chaotic condition, that you have come down as head of the church to bring the church from darkness into light and from chaos into unity with the headship of our God by the living word which made all things and maintains all things and will soon bring forth a bride and set her in the millennium and then going on to the finish wherein you have set forth in your word that particular destination as we see the new Jerusalem and the bride and the Lamb on the throne, God himself, Father, up in the pillar of fire above the throne, and all the others, perhaps we might call them foolish virgin, and on the earth, and bringing their glory in. And you then have established your kingdom, and this is what you desire. So, Lord, we know that this has already increased with the increase in fullness of God, and we believe, Lord, that we will, some of us at least, will be here to see this brought into effect through the resurrection, the changing from mortality to immortality, and millennium and on, Lord. We believe that is this hour of the seventh seal, and we give you praise. Help us, Lord, tonight to study your word. May it be with joy as we draw waters out of the well of salvation. May, though some of the Lord may be difficult, we pray that it'll somehow have the effect establishing and helping us to know things, especially those things that are revealed to us and those things that are not, to learn to leave them alone or leave them in your hands. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, we're going to continue tonight to sort of look at questions that have been asked me. And I don't pretend to have all the answers as though I know everything. I certainly do not. But we look at them and just see how far we can go. And hopefully it may be that the Lord will give us the opportunity of going from that particular area onward. Now, we're going to sort of just talk about different things before we get right into answers. And there are certain things that perplex me because they perplex Brother Branham. He could not understand how it was that people who called themselves born again would vote for a Roman Catholic by the name of John Fitzgerald Kennedy. And he said at that particular time, he said, if America endorses a Roman Catholic, how can there be any such thing as a proper missionary movement ever come out of America again? Because as they go down into South America, Mexico, and places, they'll say, well, just a minute, you've got a Roman Catholic at the head of your nation. What are you talking about? And this is exactly true, as Brother Branham brought it out. Now, I know you might say, well, I think Brother Branham made a bit of a mistake there on the very grounds that there are people gone down there, and the Pentecostal movement in particular is so strong that it'll be hundreds of thousands of people have been converted to Christ. And at the same time, the Catholic Church is now in a matter of continual uproar and reassessing their ranks and their problems as to find out what they can possibly do about these evangelicals that are stirring up the people and winning their priests over and everybody else over. And, of course, this looks like a mighty rout that is caused by God himself in the forces of Satan. But let's just take a look at it. When Brother Matson Bose was going down to Africa, Brother Branham had him sit right in his congregation, and there he preached a sermon, End Time Evangelism. And you know that End Time Evangelism was a message that was absolutely ordained of Almighty God, vindicated in the life of Brother Branham, set forth here, absolutely manifested that this was the end time evangelism, but Bose went down there, as far as I know, with the same old Trinitarian dogma which came out of Roman Catholicism. Now, we've looked into John, the third chapter, so many times that I think you might be bored by me talking about it. But I've learned this by talking to people over the years that they can hear me preach and preach and hear me preach and preach and preach and preach, and they still don't know what I said. I don't want to insult anybody, but I'm just telling you the truth. I don't know why it is that we receive so little information which is from God and of God, ordained to God, and vindicated by God, that we just simply don't set our sails into this, into the wind that God has sent to us, and we go sailing over His beautiful sea of glass, His sea of glory. Now, we know that God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, we know He shed His blood in order to get rid of sin. As Brother Branham said, how can you call a man a sinner and the blood of Jesus Christ scatter sin till there be no evidence of it? And if there's no evidence, there's nothing there, how can you make a man a sinner? Now, the point is, we know that this is not a true dictum in the light of total encompassment of the so-called human race. Because if that were the condition, then the blood of Jesus Christ should have satisfied God as pertaining to everybody. Then forget it. We're all free. But you see, it doesn't work that way. And because people don't read what is contingent to it, in the sense they get the context of the text, they violate, vitiate, and destroy reality. And the people grabbing that which is not real then die. In other words, it's like a person in a dream. He's thirsting. He thinks he drinks water, but he hasn't. He thinks he's eating food, but he hasn't. And his stomach is distended and just full of air. There's nothing there because there's no food. Now he said, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Now there again, you notice people don't realize there's two worlds. You go to Peter, there's the world of the ungodly that got destroyed. And if there's a world of the ungodly, there's a cosmos of the godly. And the cosmos of the godly got saved because 8 souls came down. See? Listen. This word isn't just something you look at and think you got it because you looked at it and quoted it. Now, he that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, the name of the only begotten Son of God, now watch the qualifications. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So what we're having here then, there is no such thing as anybody believing on the name and getting out of condemnation, which you would get if you did believe on Him, outside of light. Amen. And that light is revealed Scripture. That's why Brother Branham said, the name of God revealed is the Scripture properly and correctly interpreted. So now the point is, how can people then say that there is a true revival down there in South America? Now, the most you could hope to come out of it any place at this late hour would be foolish virgins. All right, that sounds very good. How many people got into Israel, that is, into the Promised Land? Only 2 over 20. All the rest died. So all of them died out there. How many then were true foolish virgins in the mixed multitude? They're all religious. They all saw the signs and wonders, all baptized into Moses and unto Christ, died, carcasses. Now, I'm painting a bleak picture because it is a bleak picture. Just the other day, I picked up a magazine by a bunch of hoorah type of Pentecostals. Oh, they're hoorah type. Yes, they can do the fandango dance and they can scream. And I should have brought it to you and raised it up here and showed you. And said, what is the world going to do when it wakes up one morning and finds millions have been taken away in a rapture? Oh. 8 souls, brother, sister. 8. I can't look at that. My fingers are too stiff. But hey, 8. Yep, 8. I counted right. And why do they try to make it millions? Now, I want you to sit here tonight and understand these things. And when you do, give way to it. Don't fight. For who art thou, O man, to reply against God? See, you can't do it. Now, we listen to the prophet say, the woman's vote did it. Who do you think got in Clinton? Now, let me give you an idea what Clinton stands for, what's ahead in America, and I'm talking this way because it has to do with the future of this church. All right. Here's the bill to Senator Kennedy. Oh, brother. He's the guy with the Mets and bombs and the rest that love all this stuff. If the bill passed by the U.S. Congress, Senate Bill 574 H.R. 1430 in the House, if it's passed, will destroy much that God intends for your family. This pro-homosexual legislation could. Now, it doesn't say it will, but you're smart enough to know that any time a law is passed in the land, and smart, crooked lawyers, especially those in the American Civil Liberties Union, those that defy the truth and the word of Almighty God, and there's multitudes, there's literally millions, as against a few hundred that don't, don't you think they'll exert everything they can to take the law and pervert it, and they're doing it right now with Christians? Now, this is for homosexuals, and you know that Mr. Clinton has already said, I am going to see that the homosexuals are well taken care of. They'll be in my cabinet, they'll be here, they'll be there enough. Ross Perot said the same thing. Now, remember this flat. Clinton did not get a mandate from the people. He only won by about 2% or 3%. There was no mandate. But when you have a man like Clinton and a Democratic Congress, the whole House Democratic, and they're pulling together, and they've listened already to homosexuals, and of course you're broad-minded to believe it's fine. How broad is your mind? The way to God is narrow, it is straight, it is not broad. That's destruction. Let's read about this. Force your churches to hire gays and lesbians. Do you think they won't? Oh, you've got to be kidding. You're not even born yet. You are a miscarriage. If you don't like it, walk out. I'm not fooling, because this concerns me and this church here. Amen. We can have our doors closed within a few weeks. Because we dare to rise up and stand against this stuff, which is against the word of Almighty God. They can say you're preaching hate. Now let's go further. Make your schools teach children homosexuality is normal and acceptable lifestyle. They're already teaching it. Legalize homosexual marriage. They've done it in Canada. You say, well, no, they really haven't, because they haven't had ceremonies. They've had them here in the States. They've had them in Canada, no doubt. And in Canada, it's recognized. They have the rights of a spouse if one dies. Your taxpayers and your pension dollars, what you put into Social Security, and all of these things will benefit those people who are 100% against God, for which God will destroy this earth, and I'm going to read it to you. I thought we made a pretty good move here a while ago by forming a small corporation to take the church over. So you people are free. All you need at this point is to actually just get rid of your corporation papers even. You can get rid of your constitution. You've got no worries. All you got to do is have about two elders and a board. That's all you need to represent you. And you can have your IRS number, and that's all you need. You can give tax receipts. And you're free, unorganized, 100%. But they can come back on the three trustees, and I'm one of them, and Greg Schlutz is another one, and Bill Graham is the other one. They can come back on us and say, now you better rent your building because there's some homos want to have a party in your hall. What are we going to do? We'll close the church and burn the door, burn it down. And Brother Branham said they will close these buildings. Is this the way they're going to do it? Now, the Catholic Church is against it, but they're impotent. They always have been. They got priests loused up. They're full of AIDS and everything else. Read your paper today on child molestation. And one priest has effectively destroyed maybe 100 young men. The church can't do one thing about it. They're sick weirdo with the rest of them.
And let me tell you something else. Mrs. Hillary Clinton, she's out of the Methodist Church. And if you know what I know about the Methodist Church, having read the books years and years ago, they were the ones that promoted communism most, and they said Stalin is just like your uncle. We'll call him Uncle Joe. And they're the ones that wrote books and told how great it was that young people would get together and go down a shack up and mix the colors, everything else. You think those books aren't around? They're around somewhere. I think I know enough information how to get some. Lockwood's still living. Kenny Goff is dead, but Lockwood's still living. I can get a hold of him. He'll have the books. Trace it down. All right. I'm going to take some scripture for you. And I'm going to show you exactly what the Bible says. And you can do what you want about it. Believe me, I'm going to tell you, brother, sis, you better be on your toes and realize we could get our heads knocked off. And we could be closed up because of the very thing that Mr. Clinton and his bunch stand for. And no doubt he'll be a very good president, just the same as Jack Kennedy was. He'll be good for those arrest him. All right, let's get into Leviticus. It's the 18th chapter, I do believe, in verses 22 to 25. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It's an abomination. I ask you a question. Is there something about abomination mentioned in the book of Revelation? There sure is. And what kind of a can of worms are you looking up to? Read a little further. Neither shalt thou lie with a beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereunto. It's confusion. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these things the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. And the land is defiled, therefore do I visit the iniquity upon it, and the land itself shall vomit out her inhabitants. Now, the Bible is telling you right now that the land that we are inhabiting is defiled because of this. Oh, they say, no, what it is, it's that acid rain. That's what you say. What does God say? God says this is the start of it. Now go back and cast around in your minds and see if that isn't true. Cast in your minds and realize this one thing. Had we this under control, we would have controlled the other things, which are acid rain and all those things that pollute the land. But the pollution comes in the human bodies from the rank spirit of hell, which is serpent seed, which I'll talk about. How far am I going to read? I read to 25. Yes, it says the land's defiled. Let's go to Leviticus, the 20th chapter. Reading verse 10, and thou shalt... Or 20 and 10. And if a man that commits adultery with another man's wife, even he that commits adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and adulteress shall surely be put to death. And the man that lieth with his father's wife and then covered his father's nakedness, both of them shall be surely put to death, their blood's upon them. If a man lieth his daughter-in-law, both of them shall be surely put to death. They rot confusion, their blood shall be upon them. If a man also lie with mankind, as he lieth with woman, both of them have committed abomination, they shall surely be put to death, and their blood's upon them. And so on. Let's read further. You say, Brother Vail, you're going to wipe those guys out? I'm not wiping anybody out. But there's a cure for it. And the church doesn't want to cure it, it wants to enhance it. It makes them the adoring filth. And they say, oh, we're great Christians because, you see, we understand. You understand what? I got a Bible that understands that stuff. Colossians 1:3-7. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not things on the earth. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Now that's also 2 Thessalonians. Mortify therefore your members upon which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. In which you also walked sometime when you lived in them. It lets you know here that when you become a Christian, those things cannot obtain. neither will they be advocated by any true Christian. So therefore, these people up there that are advocating themselves as some kind of Christians, they're some kind, all right. They're certainly not our kind. And the only reason you can call them Christians is because they're not Muslims or Hindus or Taoists or something else. They don't belong to the Sikhs and the Jains. All right, let's go further. We go to 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Now remember, this stuff here, endorsed by the church and fostered by the government, absolutely can shut our doors. And they can come right against the Word of God, against you and me, and say, listen, we don't care two bits what you or the Word of God says. And this Word is vindicated. Amen. We'll talk about it. They can come against us and say it's the law of the land. And there's nothing you can do about it. I think it's Trudeau got the hate law in Canada. They're under his government. All right, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 20. And it says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now remember, Malachi tells you exactly who the righteous are and who those are that serve God. So we know. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. That's your homos, your queers, your gays, and your whole bunch of them. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind. It does not call it sexual intercourse. It says abusing themselves. That's exactly why they've got AIDS. If you want to know the truth, the lower colon is so fine in its texture that it can be bruised and destroyed by sodomy. Come on, let's get with it. Here's where it comes from. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Now he tells you right there, listen, that obtained. But when you're born again, it does not obtain. Now Brother Branham used to say years ago about the folk that said, hey, he said the sheep got out, but how did the goats get in? He said, you let down the bars. So now, here are these homosexual people, men and women both. They want to have families brought in by somebody else, born of somebody else. They want to have marriages. What in the name of common sense for? Now, just a minute. Marriage has always been the prerogative of the church, not the prerogative of the government. Before there was a government, marriage ordained of God and a ceremony, not government. Now, government's going to step around and tell you against the word of Almighty God, this is a marriage. Two men get together, two women. You talk about filth. But Clinton says it's okay. I'm not here selling politics. I'm just trying to bring you up to date and let you know that we are in greater trouble than you think, and churches will be closed because of this, or I'm going to miss my guest. I'm not saying I'm a prophet standing here, but let's face it. Something's got to do it. Okay, this is the start of the whole thing. One great big filthy mess. Now, I didn't get far enough yet. Now, he said, meats for the belly, belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now, the body is not for fornication. It's not for fornication, not for this stuff up here. Man with man and woman to woman. But it's for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God has raised up the Lord, and will also raise us up by his own power. Know ye not your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that which you joined to a harlot is one body? For two saith he should be one flesh. Now, where do you get that in the male and female? That is to say, male to male and female to female, one flesh. You can't do it. What you get is filthy, illegitimate, rotten sex. What? Know ye not that was joined to harlot is one body, for two saith he should be one flesh? But he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without his body, but he that committeth fornication sins against his own body. Now that's just fornication. What about homosexuality? AIDS. So I think that came by retro, by what they call the retrovirus. It has come by a combination of viruses coming together, mutation. even where they split jeans and all and bring it together. I don't care what it came by, who's being hit. Now, the fornication comes in because even the heterosexuals are fast passing the homosexuals for AIDS. But don't worry, it's going to get the millions, because that's exactly what's going to happen. What, know ye not, you bought the temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have of God, and you are not your own? Now then, how does anybody, what I've read here, have a right to say, well, I'm going to tell, like one guy, I heard to my dismay, and I could ask certain people in this congregation, know the man, and say if I said wrong. But this man told his congregation that it was gloves off when it came to sex when you're married, because the marriage bed is honorable and all, and it doesn't matter what you do, when Brother Branham said different. Now, you might not like this kind of preaching. I'm sorry for you. You can go any time you want. I don't like it either, but I'm going to preach it. Because I'm just fool enough to preach it, fool enough to believe the word of Almighty God. This is why when they were going to cross over to the promised land, it was absolutely told the parents of every child born to them, you shall teach this to your children. You shall teach it to your children. You shall teach it to your children. You'll bind them upon your forehead. You'll put them upon your wrists so that the clunk, clunk, tap, 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 tap will make you think about the word of God. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not do this. Everybody wants a positive gospel. Thou shalt. Then thou shalt do what God says in His Word concerning sexual matters, and don't go overboard. Should be horribly embarrassing for people to even think, even thought of those things. It shows that nothing but a filthy spirit. That's exactly what it is. It is a filthy spirit. Let's go to Jude. And I'm not worried about any real sweet spirit tonight, because I'm going to tell you one thing. The same sweet spirit that came into the church was the same judging spirit with eyes of fire that has already judged the world. And the sentence is passed upon them, even to the extent, very shortly, Malachi 4 will come right to pass. As Brother Branham said, we stand right before the white throne now. And when this earth is finished off, it's all over. All they're waiting for the execution. The sentence has been passed. Otherwise, how could Brother Branham say, I indict this generation, and stand up on one side and say, you are nothing but the virtuous, righteous bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. You didn't even do it. If there wasn't the curse on the other hand, then it couldn't be God, because God's got two hands, left and right. Right? Mount Abel and Mount Gerizim, blessing and cursing. You say what you want, but I'm telling you the word of God. And I tell you, you just proved me wrong. You can't do it. Come up here and stutter and stand here and act like God knows what, but you can't prove it. I know I'm right. Yep. Jude. Beloved, and I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation. It's need for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which is once delivered. That means once for all, delivered unto the saints. Where do you find anything written in here? The homosexuality and these things are of God. But listen, for there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying, saying no to the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. That's like the Bible said, if you deny the Son, you deny the Father. If you deny Jesus, forget it. God's against you. There's only one advocate, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. How are you going to get away from it? I will therefore put you in remembrance that though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Say, well, listen, I've come out, I believe Brother Branham's message. And then you turn on the morality that Brother Branham preached? The living word of God? Come on. Anybody can come out. Like I've said many a time, when I left Pentecost, thank God Pentecost left me. And I mean it. It's just no boast, it's the truth. I was fortunate, very unique, that I knew something was wrong with that very doctrine and those people. I couldn't pin it, but I knew something was wrong. And I remember that night I said, thank you, God, for the Holy Ghost, but still, there's something wrong somewhere. I'm not too happy. But you see, it took me a long time to find out, but God is faithful. Amen. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved into everlasting chains unto darkness, unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah. What is the word? Where do you get the word sodomite from? Sodom. Yeah. And Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, and going after strange flesh. Male to male, woman to woman is strange. It is a nature. It's only becoming nature to a degree when all the chemicals and all the junk is in the water, because man did what he did, and is coming back upon the animals. Now they're getting perverted and homosexual. Who had that article in the church here? Who had that? You had it? Good. Make copies and put them on the board and give it to everybody. Let the people know. You don't fool with the Word of God. When you fool with the Word of God, you fool with God. Come on. Rhema Logos. It's a Rhema Logos God, and don't forget it. There never was a government or a constitution without written law that demanded obedience. And God gives us the not just the right, but the ability to live that word. My. The people are so messed up in these days. Thank God for a separating word. Amen. Just get out of this. Notice what it says here. And going after strange flesh are set for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Now listen, the fire that fell temporarily at Sodom and Gomorrah due to homosexuality is now going to come, and it's eternal fire. God himself blasting it. Likewise, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, as he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." And I'm going to tell you one thing. We can preach all we want, and Brother Branham could, and everyone in this church, and is going to take the Lord to rebuke him. We're not going to do it, but I can stand here and preach and warn you and try to help you. Flee these things. It means getting rid of your monitors and your video cassettes, throw them in the garbage. I'm going to tell you, one thing will lead to another. I get pretty worried about what goes on. Now, these speak evil of those things which they know not. See, there, yeah, they don't know. But what they know naturally is brute beasts, and those things they corrupt themselves. And what are the brute beasts doing? It hits right back on the program of sex. People are programmed for sex, but you don't have to be programmed unless you want it for the illicit and the filthy, the bestial. You're programmed for it, but it's a righteous act by the right people in the right way. Even serpent seed can be right. When they step out of line, watch it, the whole thing goes. Warn to them, for they've gone the way of Cain. They've gone the way of Cain. What did Cain do? A murderer. Tried to worship God apart from revelation, killed. Now, what do you think of the Muslims over there from Iran? They got $2 million on poor old Salman Rushdie's head now. Oh, that's great religion. Now, what's Rafsanjani done? Oh, he's a better man now than old Ayatollah Khomeini. He put out twice the dough now. That's religion for you. How many atrocities are committed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ also? You think they're going to hold off? I understand Brother Branham said something about the fact hunting them down like dogs. Ran greedily after the error of Balaam. That's your Pentecostals. For reward. Perished in the gainsayings of Korah. That's coming against constituted authority. The prophet. And they are spots in your feast of love. And when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds the air without water, carried about the winds, trees without whose fruit withereth, whose without fruit. The fruit withers, then without fruit. Twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Watch what it says. Waves of the sea, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. They haven't got enough brains at the end time to have to walk in shame. Wretched, miserable, naked, blind, and don't even know it. Wandering stars. To whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh of Adam, prophesied of these things, and so on and so on. Now it says, to execute judgment, what's God going to do upon all? And to convince all that they are ungodly, that all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. They're murderers, complainers, walking in their own lusts, and their mouths speak great swelling words, having men person admiration because advantage. What was it advantage for Mr. Clinton that I don't believe is homosexual at all, has any tendencies toward it, even wants it? Why did he say, I'll take you in? Advantage. He got the presidency because of you. Well, say, Brother Dale, I've been reared different from you. Well, bully for you. How do you know how I was reared? I'm looking at the Word of God, not at E. Dale. I'm not looking at this congregation as though you've accepted a bunch of hogwash. But I want you to know the fat's in the fire. The man said it. He said, abortion's fine. That's murder. I know a while ago we didn't understand these things. A fetus was just a fetus. Get rid of it. But with the prophet, every answer is in the Bible concerning mankind. We've got it. And that's one of the answers. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? There was a man who refused to raise up children to his brother by marrying his widow. And Brother Branham said in the end time that women refused their husband's children, but they'd nurture a dog or something. Now listen, he said it, I didn't. But I'm going to tell you something. We better listen because we're obligated and we're judged by this word. I'm not trying to chop anybody's head off, but I'll tell you one thing. You raise your head and you try to tell me contrary. That, oh, it's a good thing to legalize homosexuality. Hey, listen, give them all that the government allows them to give, but don't let the government tell us. If they want to do it, they'll do it. But the government has no right to come and tell me I've got to spend all my tax money on people that wantonly do this filthy thing. I tell you, my stand right today is this on drugs and homosexuality and anything else. Go ahead and do it, but don't come to me. You ask for it. You pay your own price. Stand still one time and pay your price. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a ministry. I had to face it. Most ministers do. They're not worth a plug nickel. Got a knife in your back and one in your guts and 1,500 people trying to climb on top. You've got to stand there and take every single thing. You take it. I don't care what your upbringing was, as your father and mother taught you. Maybe you still got that kind of father and mother. If you haven't, you haven't got God in my books. Because there's no way you can tell me that you can come against this book that I've been reading right here. And it condemns the very thing. And I read also here in the scripture. I read it over here in Colossians, that the wrath of God comes because of this very thing. The earth, everything else. That's why Brother Branham could stand up and say, what was that original sin in the Garden of Eden? It was illicit sex. It was a woman and a beast. A filthy, rotten animal. But I'm going to tell you one thing. He was prettier and sexier by far than 90% of the men in this congregation, not 100%. You can say what you want. But that's the truth. Otherwise, why did even the sons of God lust after the daughters of men? Amen. That's the original Amazons. Did you know that? You think the Amazonian theory about women, the big women warriors, is just a myth? It's based in truth. Because there's nothing that's not based in truth, brother and sister. Let's get that flat. You can take the truth and throw it into an allegory as well as a parable, but you better watch out what you're doing. Pretty soon it becomes a myth. Well, it's not nice to talk this way, but it's the only way I can talk, and so I talked. Sorry, and I'm not sorry about it at all. The fact of the matter is these things need looking into. What have I got here? Have I got something here? Oh, wrong notes. I do believe. I've got pages of notes here drifting around, and I don't think I'm going to get to the hard part. Give me a little time, and I'll find everything. And if I don't find it, I've got plenty up here to work on. Not there. Maybe it's here.
not there someplace else. Oh, here it is, because I wrote on the side of it.
All right. The question was asked. It came up and it said, Brother Branham said we have the answer to the devil's questions. What was the question and what was the answer? Well, that's good. You could draw your own conclusion. I can draw mine. But the fact of the matter is, there is a question, there is an answer. So why the quote that I have to go to, I want to go to, is Christ the Mystery of God Revealed. I got Brother Bob to get it for me because I don't manipulate these quotes in the sense that I can pull them up. I pull them up in my mind, but I want to have them here. Okay. Notice being personally identified by the original headship. Notice being personally being personally identified by the original headship, we have the devil's question. He, Christ, is risen and has paid the price and raising up the head, the body. The devil can't stand it. Now we are the sons of God. Not we will be, we are. Now we're redeemed. We have Satan's answer. Okay, we've got the devil's question. Now we've got the devil's answer. Now listen. Really, what he's saying here, we've got the answer to the devil's question. The devil and Satan's reading what we have answered Satan, what we're coming at. God's vindicated himself. God's proved himself to his promise in this day. Hallelujah. The headship is here. Amen. Christ, the risen Lord, is here in the same power of his resurrection that he ever was, manifesting himself. That's the devil's answer. In other words, that's the answer to the devil. Okay? God help us to do the same thing. We don't have to answer the devil's questions. That's right. If thou be, do so and so. You're responsible for that gospel. A preacher is, and that's all, not how it's written, is just responsible for saying it. Okay. The first thing we look at is the devil actually asked two questions of which we're interested in. Number one, in the Garden of Eden, yea, hath God surely said, thou wilt not die. In other words, he's questioning the word of God as to the authenticity of it. Is it really true? Now, in this woman's condition, she doesn't even know what death is. No, nothing's dying out there. All she sees is a progression of the reality of God. As Brother Branham said, in that garden, if they wanted a tree move, they'd just say, tree move over here. And he said there weren't gnarled and crooked branches. In other words, anything that wasn't symmetrical and beautiful. Nothing like that. Nothing at cross purposes. So how could she know? See? Now, this woman, not having any manifestation or anything that she could put her hand on as to give her the right to discuss the Word of God, she does it anyway. So she rises to the bait. Is it really true? See? Now, having talked to Satan, she comes from behind the word because she listens to the question. Now notice, she herself did not originate the question. It was, as Paul said, put into her mind. And that's where it started. That's where her loss of her dignity and relationship, all of those things that had accrued to her by a sheer gift of God's grace, she laid to one side by actually asking a question, allowing it to be in her mind. Paul the Apostle said that's how the bride lost her virginity and became impregnated with the seed of Satan. The same Apostle Paul, who was completely vindicated, stood against anybody who dared to challenge anything he said upon the grounds of vindication. Now, let's just take a look at that over here in the 10th chapter of the book of Romans. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Now, not according to knowledge means they've listened to the wrong instructor concerning God. And the wrong instructor concerning God was Satan, who raised the question against the Word of God. That's why I'm so strong on preaching Rhema Logos. A Rhema Logos God. They're one. To question God is to question His Word. To question the Word is to question God. To deny the Word is to deny God. To deny God is to deny the Word. You can't get away from it. Let's keep reading. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, being ignorant concerning what God said, turning it down by questions, turning it down by disbelief, turning it down some way, what do? They go and attempt to establish something that they can live with and call it God. Don't you see the homos do the same thing right in a church? What in the name of common sense is the matter with people's heads? Can't they understand anything? No, they can't. Because no politician can make a correct decision. Why? Because he's already butted his nose into the house of God. He's legislated. You can have every filth in school, but you can't pray. Oh, I know the so-called Christians will say, well, really, that's not the truth. What it is, it's so. Oh, shut up. You know it's the truth. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone believeth. For believe what? The perfect Word of God. So if He's the end of the law, you don't have any more law. You've got Christ, who is the law of life. And that life will respond to the Word. That's what Brother Branham said. If you got the Holy Ghost, He'll say amen to every word. See, you understand? Now you're falling to Scripture. See, when you study this Scripture in light of Brother Branham's message in his eyes, it's an entirely different book, believe me. You can't say that with the Methodists, the Baptists, and the Jehovah's Witnesses, and the Seventh-day Adventists. You can't do it. Amen. You can't do it. They don't have it. None of them have it. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is the law, that the man which doeth these things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is the law speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That's bring Christ down from above. Or descend to the deep, that's to bring Christ up from the dead. What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession made unto salvation. For the Scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. You're right back to John 3:16, 17, 18. Believing on him is not just I believe on him, hallelujah, and I can do what I want to do. It's believing Him who is that Word and whose life is in the revealed Word of this hour. And you're looking right at Christ and Christ in your midst. And it's not just simply a play upon words, it's a reality. I'm talking about reality. The presence of Him here who brought the Word is now here revealing it. And that same one is infusing and using His Word to bring the dead out of the ground, to transform a bride and take them all away. And what is the baptism of the Holy Ghost? It's your token that you're part of it. The rest is being done by a sovereign God. The fact that you got the baptism doesn't mean that you raise yourself. It means you got the seal that God's going to raise you. Let's face it. All right, what was I saying here about this whole thing? I'm saying this whole thing is here that you don't ask questions. You see? And Paul hit it. And then they said, well, just a minute, when he went on to predestination. See? And over here in predestination, we're too far now. The ninth chapter. He tells them here, it's not as though the word of God was not effective, but all Israel's not on Israel. They're not all. But it's a certain seed that believes. And we'll talk about that. We won't get it tonight, I'm sure. And this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but Rebecca also conceived by one, our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born. See? Neither yet having done any good with the purpose of God, according to election might stand, not a works of him that called it. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as is written, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. What should we say then? Is there righteousness with God? God forbid. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom will mercy, and compassion on whom will compassionate. So it is not of him that wills, not of him that runs, but God shows mercy. And then he's right on the day. Now right down here it says in verse 19, thou wilt then say unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Now you see, that's the spirit of the devil. Just makes you wonder how much of the wrong nature we still got, the wrong flesh, the wrong everything. Well, we got the wrong flesh, can't do a thing about it. But how much is our spirit under control of the soul to give the spirit that God allowed, not of God, but allowed of God, and it takes the nature, it takes our soul to give it the right nature. You know, the right nature is to stand right by and just never mind what happens. God's in this whole thing. Like Brother Branham kept talking about old Noah. Noah, just keep on building, keep on building. And now the ark is entirely built. And they said, well, you poor old fool, what now? Just shrugged his shoulder and went on. Didn't bother him any. But they were plenty bothered when the flood came. Listen, there's that spirit that always questions, question, question. This is exactly why it's known to... Now, this is no fault in nothing. Please don't think I'm a woman hater. I'm against anybody, my wife or anybody. Psychologically, women are the ones that ask questions, 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 not men. It lets you know plump and plain, right in the nature of a woman, she cannot handle the word. Yet Hillary is a great Sunday school teacher. I'm not against a woman. Don't think I am. Look, she was done wrong by. She was done wrong by. I don't believe she kicked the traces over. I hope to God she didn't. Maybe just like Brother Branham said about Jackie Kennedy, said that. With her water head and the whole bit, he said, maybe she'd have had a chance to hear the gospel. She'd have done right. I don't know. Not, but I'm just letting you know, look, what is in the world today? And he said, who art thou, a man who resisted his will? See? The questioning attitude. It's not to question. It's like the battle of Balaclava. It's not to question why. It's not to reason why. It's but to do and die. And into the valley of death rode the 600. Calves left and calves right and volleyed and thundered. See? Then how many came back? Very few came back, but they obeyed the orders because it wasn't theirs to question. It was theirs to die. And believe me, when we stop questioning God, we will die to our senses and to the inferior, cruddy stuff that's in us. We'll be alive unto Almighty God, pulsating with the word of life. That's our trouble, brother, sister. Don't try to tell me different. You're talking to a stubborn old goat up here. It's got sheep innards. I'd sooner be a sheep looking like a goat on the outside than a goat on the inside looking like a sheep. See, I caught you flat-footed that time, didn't I? Truth, though. Truth doesn't hurt anybody. And not the potter power over the same love. So what are we looking at here, brother? What is the devil's question? The devil's question is to say, did God really say it? The next thing he challenges, hey, if you're really the Son of God, do something. Jesus said, I can't do anything unless he tells me to and gives me the strength to do it. And Paul the Apostle told us the same thing. Where is it? Well, it's in Ephesians here somewhere. I just don't have good minds like you guys, some of you guys. So I can't find all these things, but let me see if I can find it. Oh, it's not there and it's not there. Where in the world is it? Oh, yeah. And it's 3 and 20 Ephesians. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. It tells you, actually, the literal translation is unto him that is able exceedingly abundant above all we ask or think according to the fact that he is exercising his own power in us. That's why Jesus could do what he did. And that's why he said there's somebody coming after me. And that was Brother Branham, who will have more success in with my ministry in his life than I've got in my own. Because it was end time, which was the epiphany. The person's epiphany is when that thing bursts upon him as the great majestic thought, this great thing. Well, I'm going to tell you, this is what we have now at this age. You come to church chewing gum. You came into prayer line chewing gum. Now, some of you parents, get a little red in the face. I've watched your kids come in chewing gum. Don't you know when your kids are chewing gum? I'm close, might as well say it. Brother Branham said, somebody's got to do it, like what old Dick Lambert said. Remember in our church over here in Fort Page on Highway 47? He said, it doesn't have to be you. He said, no respect. No, he can chew all the gum he wants, spit in my face, doesn't matter. But when you fought Brother Brown, different story. Because pillar fire hung there. I don't have any pillar fire hanging in. I'm one of those unfortunate guys, but so are you unfortunate with me. But praise God, we can eat the fruit of the land and win. As long as somebody else brings the fruit back. It was brought back to us. So, all right, now, what's the next thing we see here? The devil comes along and said, well, is this really God? Are you really? Is it really? Brother Branham categorically said, and he proved it from the fourth chapter of Matthew, which we went to the 12th chapter, that the Spirit of Jesus Christ returns to the Gentiles and does in the form of the Holy Ghost what he did when he was here in the flesh. Absolutely. Proving he's risen from the dead. Now, we know positively at this hour nobody's come back yet. But it doesn't matter. The proof is here. That's what Caleb and Joshua did. And those 10 guys that were so flaked out, they just couldn't take it. They said, well, I just don't believe we can take the land. It's too big for us. Why, we die, we this and that. And they brought these huge clusters back, the fruit of the land. And they tasted, they ate, and they knew the power of God. Because they crossed over through the Red Sea. They knew all these things. They tasted the things to come. This is what I just don't know. You know, they died. I'm going to tell you, we there's not one miracle we have to do. There's not one thing we have to see. It's all over. The resurrection must come. Why? Because it's proven he's risen from the dead. Okay, one of these days, Brother Branham's going to come back. You watch. Yep. He'll be back. So, all right. That's what you're looking at. What was the devil's question? Hey, did God really say that? What do you really mean? Again, hey, are you a son of God? Come on. Give me something to go by. Give me some evidence. When we take some, God has always given evidence concerning his word, and I've been really drilling on that. You don't find one thing in the book of Isaiah that says it. You don't find a thing in Jeremiah that says it. You don't think anything in Amos and Joel, Obadiah, and the rest of you, and Malachi, and you don't see it in Zechariah. You don't see it in one, but they had to be vindicated, or they were not prophets. Why was it that Isaiah came to pass? He was a prophet vindicated of God. Why do we understand Joel today? Prophet vindicated of God. What about Malachi 4? Prophet vindicated of God. Every single one. And what about Jonah? Why, tremendously vindicated. God made a special fish for him. God couldn't create? You're crazy. What do you think God couldn't create? If God can't create, then he can't create you and who? You're going to be dust and finally die. You take care of your... You could give you some type of resurrection body, throw in the lake of fire for a while, whatever. See, when it's proven, it's proven. Listen, do you realize that even a man's formula, Einstein, the formula for energy which nobody else knew and he did not know, but he said this could be it and it was it? That's where the atomic bomb came from, right? A lot of other things. Now, if a man can do that with his word, based upon what is here in nature, what is behind that nature, and if we ever learn from him, we have it made. You don't need to worry about what is it, MC equal E squared or something. What is it, you know? Well, there it is. Something's pretty close. I'm not a scientist. I'm not in mathematics anymore. I would have loved it one time, but not anymore. All right, there's what you're looking at, see? Now, I think that covers that pretty good. How many minutes you got left? How many? Three? Well, we'll take a little question here and we'll quit because there's no way I can ever get into that. Brother wrote a question here. What is he quoting from? Is this the one I want? No, that's not what I want. I can't read. I can't give you this fellow's question and me lose what I'm supposed to quote from, can I? I might have to leave that till tomorrow. I guess might have to do that. Yeah. So what else we got here? And I get home at my table. I got the table laid out there. Poor Allison can't do anything, but she watches every little tiny bit of paper and for me. And now, where did that go to? Now, I know you can't answer me, so no use trying. but if you could, I'd sure get you up here in a hurry. Oh, here's a question here. I can answer this right off the top of my head. A brother writes a question. He said it concerning over in Daniel 12, 11 and 12. And I'll just look at that for a second and read it to you and give you my little thought on it. And this is one here I look at. It's left to 12, 11, and 12. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. And that goes into your 30-day month, into your 3.5 years. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. Okay, you got 1,290, and you got 1,335 days. What's that, about 45 days difference? Well, frankly, I don't know. Could it be that there's a little lull in there someplace? I never heard Brother Branham tell it, and I never found anybody that knew the answer, and I don't know the answer. There might be a little lapping over, might be a little lull, such as we go through, maybe, like Brother Branham said, a 30 to 40 day period before the rapture takes place when the dead come out of the ground. And that 30 to 40 day period, like the time of Jesus Christ, is where we get acquainted with each other again and see who's made it and don't worry about who hasn't, because, you know, there'll be people out there. You can't worry anymore because you're changed. And also you get talking to each other and you can visit. But he said when the time for the rapture comes and the reincarnation, that spirit's amongst us, incarnate to us, then every eye is on him. There's nobody talking. There's nobody in any position but riveted on him who is crowned King of Kings, Lord of Lords, God, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, right down the line. They're altogether lovely, the Rose of Sharon, the all in all. So I don't have a clue on this. And if I ever find anything Brother Branham said, I can't remember anything he said, I would be happy to tell you. All right, here we are. The brother mentioned the Feast of the Trumpets, a little thought here. Page 23, paragraph 176. Now, I don't know what book he's got, but it's sure not the book I got. But then he says here, Brother Branham says, seventh seal hasn't opened yet. You know that's his coming. And I am unsure in what context the prophet is making this statement. But as I understand that the seven seals were opened in 1963 with the revelation of the something under the third pole. Any light you might shed on this statement will be highly valued. Well, I think the brother has the right understanding here. It's within a special context. Now, let's face it. It's absolutely certain in the Word of God that the seals were ripped off the book and the book handed back to the Father. There's nothing you can do about it. So whether the revelation of every single seal was 100% complete as to our understanding of it is another question. But there's no way in my mind, from what Brother Branham said, that those seals were all ripped off the book, and especially in the understanding that a book is a scroll and there's seven seals across the last little bit of it. Like Brother Branham illustrated, he said you take a piece of paper and roll it like this, you know. And he made a mistake the first time he preached on it, though, and he had to come back and correct it. Because he said, you seal it, then you roll again and seal it. Seven seals in and seven seals out. And I said, I don't know where he gets it, but I don't believe it's right. But if he's a prophet, he'll come up with the answer. Well, the answer was, I made a mistake. Seven seals on the outside. Right? Remember that? If you don't remember it, go over your seals and preach in the whole bit. And God in simplicity, you'll find it there down the road. He said, now let's take this seal all rolled up here. Let's say we're rolled up. We put seven seals, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And let's say the seventh seal here has not been ripped off. Is it open? The answer is no. Why? Because God sealed it. How do you know what God hasn't sealed? It's the same way, how can you close what God has opened? So therefore, Revelation 10 and 4 is countermanded by Revelation 10, 22 and 10. Seal not the sayings. It's unsealed. And you cannot seal it up. And Brother Branham mentioned the seventh seal is Revelation 10, 1 to 7, which is the pure mechanics of it. And he said it goes plumb into eternity like a Roman candle. Now, Brother Branham also took, was it Matthew 24, I forget, 23, 24. And he said, you'll notice that there are seven seals here except one is missing, number seven. And he said, what is that? He said, that is his second coming. That is his coming. Now, Revelation 10, 1 to 7 is the appearing who came down. the one that was on the throne, that had the book, came on down. Because Brother Branham distinctly said, when Adam and Eve sinned, God did not leave his precious son and daughter to an archangel, to an angel, to a messenger. He himself came down, so did they. What you got? So here you got it. Elohim himself came down. So, all right, what you're looking at then is literally a second coming, which we don't know the hour of. And that is reserved. Now, for the bride, remember, it doesn't really matter. Because the wise come out, the foolish come out, the foolish go back in, but the wise go in, the foolish come running, the wise are in there, the foolish cannot get in, no way. They try it for a little while. You've got one or two with the garment on, don't have the right garments on. They're kicked out. In other words, the word certainly absolutely separates, and it says absolutely concerning it, behold the bridegroom, they beheld him, they're separated by the word, now they're completely singular unto Almighty God. I believe the dead have come up, and all the bride is standing here, and they're going into the wedding supper. See? That's fine. But the world doesn't know anything about it. Now the point is this, what does it matter if we know or don't know? It's a great mystery, that's true. But the thing is this, is there decidedly a misunderstanding amongst us concerning this seventh seal as though we've got to do something to it? We should not be doing things to it. In other words, working this way and that way and coming up with our own understanding and angles. When Brother Branham has categorically made enough statements and told us with the opening of the seals, the seven thunders, we had everything to put us into a rapture. So when you put that together, you can understand it's the same as the third pull. The third pull had different aspects. We don't get them mixed up. The third pull. So with under the seventh seal. It was completely revelatory. I don't know anything in the seventh seal that is really a matter of chronology, but revelatory, because all the chronology is already in the Scripture, and Revelation 10:1-7 can be nothing more than 1 Thessalonians 4:13 right on down, especially 16, the Lord descended the shout. Jesus doing all three and descending, the shout is a message, the voice is the of the archangel raising the dead, and the trumpets gathering together and taking up to the wedding supper. So there are aspects, I believe the brother is completely right here about various aspects. My understanding, the seventh seal is absolutely open, every single seal is open, and the seventh seal was more revelatory than anything else, even as all the other seals were revelatory. Furthermore, the seventh seal was corrective, because that which is perfect has come. And the seventh message was not so much a new message, which it wasn't. It was the full revelation and bringing together the entire Word of God so that the bride would be a perfect Word bride. So that's how I understand that particular question we have here. And I think that's about as far as we're going to go. I believe he's on the right track. And I hope none of you are too deeply offended at my rough talk and my way of doing things. But I tell you, I've got a big stake in this church, and I've got a big stake in the ministry. And I've got a big stake in you people on the grounds I've been with you for a long time. Now, you better just know positively there's no way you can entertain the thoughts that are in this world here and in government that are absolutely set to be taken over by a dictatorial church, the Roman Catholic Church and its and its harlot daughters, and they're going to run government and everything else. Now notice the government is running the church now, but the church is going to turn and run the government. It'll take over. I don't have all the ramifications, but as I studied and I saw what is going on, what these bills can do about Mr. Kennedy, and you know what kind of a person he is. He isn't even fit to name the name of Jesus. If he does, I don't know what he thinks he's doing. I think it's a good idea he might call upon the Virgin Mary, not knowing that's Cybele and the rest of the heathen complex of goddesses. Because that's where they got the whole thing, let's face it. But there's no way that that man has any right in our church and what we believe. In fact, there isn't any man, myself and you included, has any right in this church. We go by a word that's vindicated by the prophet. And I'm going to tell you something. There's the answer to the devil. We got a vindicated word. And the prophet stood by it. So let's stand by the word. You say, Brother Bill, it's very hard to do that. I know it is. Let's stand at this time and be dismissed. Not dismissed, we're going to enter into this worship service. Heavenly Father, we want to look to you at this very hour as we our thinking of entering into the service of communion foot washing. And that brings us to a point right here that Brother Branham mentioned concerning those who take communion to sit with us. We don't forbid anybody. But Father God in heaven, I do know one thing. Although each person examines himself, it had better be a tighter and tighter and closer examination as the hours go on, to see if we've rid our minds of every thought which is incompatible with the Word of God, and not tried to make the Word of God arrange itself according to our desires, whether they be even good desires, which are well-meaning toward people. But even a well-meaning toward people would never ever allow us to cover the Word of God, because they would disagree and feel ill at ease with us. That's not the purpose, we know that. We know also, Lord, we're supposed to present the Word in such a way as to not make it contemptible. But Lord, if it becomes contemptible and we, on the grounds of a Spirit-filled pronunciation, then let it be, even unto death. Because what do people die for? Not their lives. They die for a word, thereby die for God. So, Father, help us to understand that that's the same principle. As we die to our own flesh, we bring our own thinking under control and have nothing, Lord, to say outside of that which has been vindicated, proven to be correct, that this is the one and only Word, this Bible here. And what has been given as vindication makes us to know we have the food, of spiritual food in due season. We have all the rights at this hour. So, Lord, tonight again, we look to you for help in this service. And may the Lord God of heaven be glorified. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll let you stand at this time. We'll just take a few minutes here, and the brethren come forward at the same time. Be prepared to to bring forth the elements to you. We can progress with the service thereby. And the book just opened to John 13. I honestly did not have anything to do with it. It just popped open here by turning it, so I'm going to just read it. That must be what we... I'm not the kind of guy in Pentecost to go to the refrigerator and open the door and so on. No, it's not that at all. It's just that... It's just that there it is. So we're going to read it. Now, before the feast of the Passover. All right, feast of the Passover. What does that mean? They're going to feast on that which is the Passover, that which is the lamb that was slain, and the blood was a swashing for sin. The death angel could pass over the night of death. There's a night of death coming upon the earth. We are having the hour of our Passover. And what is the hour of the Passover looking at? We are in that hour. We shall drink anew with him in the kingdom. The very and eat the bread we're talking about. Yes, eat and drink. Exactly. You say, Brother Bale, could a glorified person do it? Hallelujah. Brother Branham said Jesus in a glorified form ate a fish sandwich. Right. I don't care if I got an amen or not. The truth of the matter is he ate. So we're going to eat. We're going to drink. And you notice one thing? Hey, you ever notice something? The only thing we've got left in this life as Christians is what? To fellowship and eat and drink with each other. You can't run to the pool hall. You can't run down to the picture shows that are filthy. If you do, it's bad. You can't run here and you can't go there. What's left of the Christian? To get fat. Yes. Yes. Eat the fat and drink the wine. Have a merry heart. Come and dine. Yes, it's scriptural. It's scriptural. Yes, I tell you, not a lie. Now, just before this great hour, notice, having loved his word, his own, the greatest love that God could show is to come down and let us know who the predestinated are by the revelation of what the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost really is. So now we're the loved ones. Notice here. Now this supper being ended. And you know we're in the last days. You got to have the old devil here to betray us. Sure, the two vines. Satan's vine looks like Jesus' vine, even looks better. Look at the crowds Oral Robert pulled. All these men pulling these crowds. So, this is the big deal. The big deal. Is it the big deal? Come on, brother, sister. Don't be children, except in malice. If you're going to be children, be children in malice. What's children in malice like? Oh, they can fight and gouge a bit, but they love and kiss pretty soon. You can't keep kids mad. Unless you're perverted little devils. Real serpent seed from the ground up. Yeah, I don't see that around our kids here. I've seen them, you know, they cry and howl at each other, but pretty soon they're hugging and gouging. Oh, that's beautiful, you know. Yeah, little children. Just be children in malice, which means there isn't any. You don't know how to hold a grudge, no way, shape, and form. A little stickiness here, but so what? Everything's sticky. Well, you know, popcorn balls are sticky, but they're sure good. Remember to make popcorn balls? Sure. Sure, like little kids. All right. You got the old devil's here in the son of perdition. We've had the son of man ministry. We know everything is just great. Everything's now in the hands of God. Absolutely. Hey, listen. Brother Branham told us, he said, hey, listen, he said, the boat has got its stabilizers on. It's all in God's hand. We're going to crest every wave. Just let go and let God. What are you supposed to do in the meantime? Be good men on the ship. Just live good lives. Go down to the larder and stock up when you need to eat. Help people a little bit seasick. You know, lift up their hands. Take care of them. Give them a little seafood, you know, sickness medicine, which is the word of God. Straighten them right up. Pray for them. Right down the line. So, all right, that's what we look at here. He poured water in the basin and washed their feet, which signified what? They're clean already. Just the last little bit of the word coming to do the final job, ready for the resurrection and rapture. And then as a prophet, he just said the same thing every prophet's got to say. You don't know now, but you're going to know hereafter. And they did know, because he was looking to his death and resurrection, and that's exactly what took place, and he had to explain every single thing. So don't feel bad if you don't understand a lot of things. Just know this, that you're in the hour when you're going to know exactly what you need to know. God's going to get you out of here. All right. And then he said here, at the end time, he said you only need to have your feet washed because, and that's what Brother Branham came and did for us. He said, and there will come a time when you'll know you always were saved. He said, not the day you thought you were. And that's what came to us as the truth. Hey, look, a seed of God, we never did sin. No way, shape, and form. Nope. We were put here in the flesh to be tested. We fell in the flesh, but we never disbelieved. And you know, that's exactly the truth. The true believer will never come against the word of God. And now what does it say here? After the feet were washed, he took his garment. What are we looking at now? When this little time is over, the Spirit amongst us, that's the head of the church, God in control, and leave it all in His hands, He's going to get us out of here. When that Spirit's incarnate to us, we're crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In other words, God putting His garment on again, and you will see that man, Christ Jesus, face to face. And that's what we're looking at as we go through the communion line tonight, brother, sister. Don't have any other thoughts in your mind. You say, look, we can take that word of God. It may be rough at times, but that's all right. We need to line up with it, and by His grace, children of God, we not only will line up to it, but we will be the living Word of God, living epistles, because God said so. Not because we say so, and not because of any diligent effort on our parts, as though we could try to wump up something, but actually the truth of the matter is, Brother Branham said, these great gifters get out of the way. How we must learn within us, the one great little simple thing that Brother Branham said, learn to step out of the way. Like the old lady, and I don't know, she used to, you know, lady down in Carolina, she was a real sweet old gal. She's a great grandma, I guess, and I guess I was maybe a grandpa by that time, I'm not sure. And she knows, I was preaching away on faith and all, and she got her conviction, and she said, you know, Brother Dale, I've got to just confess something. She said, I dip snuff. Well, I guess they dip snuff down through the south. I never even felt embarrassed for it. I just kind of laughed at it. It kind of tickled me, you know. But you know how it is here now? There's none of us are going to be dipping snuff for anything else, you know, really. We have our problems, sure, but we're not going to be against the word of Almighty God. And our confession is one with Him. So let's pray now for the emblems as we start. Heavenly Father, we took a little short talk on Your word here, but we believe it's helps us to understand a little bit more in the sense of what we are doing, unto whom we are doing it, and the immediate effect upon ourselves, Lord, as an example. It's something, Lord, laid out as we do each time. Our thoughts increase in that which was given for us, Lord. We realize it wasn't just a broken body, which that is true. The body had to break before the life came forth. But as Brother Branham said, that life went back, united the Father. God literally tearing the soul out of Jesus Christ. Which is true, that's what it'd have to be, and coming back upon us that very life. How tremendous that is to know, Lord, that that is our surety, locked into the fact of the resurrection. Nothing in our hands or bring. We could sing that song, that is true, but that would be a lie in our particular case, because these bodies are temple of the Holy Ghost, and we ought not to think anything else than that very fact. And then realizing that, Lord, because that's what Paul and these men did of old. That great assurance, that understanding came upon them, and they stood there like rocks of Gibraltar. They couldn't be changed. Peter even crucified upside down because he said, I'll not even be in position as my Lord was. We see Philip going to visit with the Ethiopian eunuch and bringing him the message of salvation, being caught away. All these things, Lord, led us to know, proven in our day, the Word of God so correct. Lord, help us to believe as never before. That's what we really need. And in the believing, Lord, we know that that's going to set aside all principalities and powers. That's where the life and the power is, Lord, and it will come forth in these beings. Father, in everyone I pray tonight, there'll be that life manifested coming forth as you require, not as I might think as in my brother, not as they might think in me, but Lord, as you want it, let it come forth, O God. And each one here encouraging each other, speaking those things of truth, and helping each other on as we really ought to do as we come around this table, Lord, let it be the true love feast. Not where the Corinthians came together and they brought their fancy rolls and their wonderful spreads, and they all ate by themselves and made a division and made some kind of a very sarcastic mimicry, Lord, of the very love feast. There's no love there at all. It was a selfish little self-indulgence. But tonight, Lord, let it be a true love feast as we enter in, O God, to the reality of your word. And we, Lord, realizing that brother and sister beside us is doing the same thing. Marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. That's what we pray tonight. And we give you glory in Jesus' name, amen. All right, the brethren will serve now. If you can start coming.